Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to Othello's City Council's May 22nd Regular City Council Meeting. And again, welcome. And if you'd all please rise for a short invocation. This is the segment where you can engage in a silent prayer, asking for God's blessing upon the City Council and wisdom and upon this city. And now, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is roll call, and Gina Doro is not able to attend tonight. And so I would entertain a motion to excuse Gina Doro. Second. Motion made in second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 2. Nope, we won't go there yet. We'll go to item 1.5, Citizen Input, the segment of our City Council meeting where any citizen has an opportunity to address the Othello City Council with any topic that they like. You have up to 5 minutes. If you would please raise your hand if you would like to address the City Council, I'll recognize you and you can come to the microphone. Is there anyone here? Hearing none, seeing none, we'll move to item 2, the approval of our agenda tonight.
Mayor, I have one change that just came about the 14th Avenue change order. We're going to delete that for tonight.
Okay.
It'll be down the road. We've got some new information.
The 14th Avenue change order is now deleted. Item 4.2. I need a motion to approve that change to our agenda tonight.
I'd make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. With that change, I'd like to approve our agenda tonight.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'd second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda. I'd like to make note, Councilman Lawless would like to make note that we've set the public hearing for the development agreement for Sage Donate for our June 5th regular workshop. And so if there's no other further updates or highlights, I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving to item 4.1, Road Rating Consultant Agreement, Amendment to Contract with Varela and Associates. And Kurt from Varela is here to talk about that amendment.
Mayor, Council, we've talked about this for probably a year. The road rating is a task oftentimes done by state agencies for smaller communities at the 5,000 population threshold. They don't do that any longer. In particular, the TIB funding application process, 30% of it is based on the physical condition of your road, the scoring, and half of that physical condition is the engineer's PCR score on that road, which is the pavement condition rating. We have a crew this year doing Grant County, and so what we're proposing is that we prioritize elements of Othello's, get the high priority ones done early in time for the TIB application process, and then finish the rest of Othello's later in the summer. What it looks like is we have a vehicle with two people in it. One of them is driving slow, looking out the window, rating it, and the other one is marking 3-4 pavement conditions. stresses, transverse longitude, alligator, and patching. Then those conditions are calculated and scores are applied to that, to the various roads. We've also been working on a GIS mapping system for the community, been mixing that in with the rest of the projects. We also kind of stumble across other GIS systems with irrigation, so we've been bringing those online and layering those in. So part of this effort would also to be to add a layer of road condition into your GIS mapping systems, a project summary, and then updating the six-year transportation plan. This was reviewed with the Public Works Committee earlier, or last week, or 2 weeks ago. I guess it was 2 weeks ago.
Is there anyone on the committee want to make a comment?
How in-depth is the rating going to be? It will help us prioritize our six-year plan.
The vehicle's equipped with a Nightstar N50. We may upgrade it to an NS60 this year. As I indicated, there's two field technicians. The surface condition rating is recorded via laptop into a program called VizRate. The field data is then uploaded into a GIS system and a development for the priority replacement is given.
Are there any other conditions that go into consideration? For one thing, I'm thinking about Lee Road. Being that the lower half of Lee Road from Reynolds to Broadway is the city of Oakville's responsibility. It's part of our streets. You have the north side of Broadway, or of Lee Road, that is totally destroyed right now. And I think that it has to do with the bed more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the trucks that are coming into the two manufacturing facilities are fully loaded on the north side of the road coming in. But leaving light, there's not as much damage to the southern side of the roadway. I was just wondering if you were going to kind of put those kinds of conditions, those kinds of things into the survey.
Specification.
Well, the rating system is going to be segmented. So every block, intersection to intersection, is going to get its own rating. That would be applied to any of the streets that are longer than a block. We would again segment those in approximate block lengths. Unrelated to this, Lee Road, we also had a drill rig come out and did cores in First Avenue for design parameters for the road cross section. While we had the drill rig here, we shot it up to Lee Road, and so we also have road sections and cores recommendations. In fact, I just shared them with Terry today.
Okay, cool.
So specific to Lee Road, that's also going to help any future funding on that one, just showing that the city's been paving the way and trying to understand what the best means and methods are to fix Lee Road. Now, Lee Road's got some funding issues because nobody's there, and funders go out there and they look at it. They look at roads with 50 people living on it. They're more apt to fund those than they are Lee Road. So Lee's got some hurdles from a funding agency to convince them that it's worth investing and, you know, potentially working with legal staff and developing, you know, some kind of latecomers or utility on that for the trucks that are actually using and beating up the roads. Generally, we do not.
It's 100% truck traffic.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about 105,000 pound trucks. You know,
well,
and at least 30 to 35 of them a day.
Yeah, it's not only the trucks is that we've been up there and looked at it, and we also suspect that they're probably a lot of loaded trucks.
Yes.
So even if they went in there and had a design parameters and design for a what you would stereotypical design a road section for, that road is not seeing those kind of weights. It's probably seeing weights 20 axle load's 20% higher in some cases.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. The problem is that we're getting to a point with that road that there ain't much repairing you can do on it anymore. Everything that, Terry's laying down in there is dissipating.
Yep.
It's disappearing. And so at some point, I mean, it could become impassable, you know? So I don't know.
I agree.
What we really need, we need to think about what we're going to do.
We're having a street committee meeting this week.
Yes.
There is some old code on the books regarding some of those industries up on the west end that participate in fixing Lee Road. I would suggest we dust that off and look at it, John, and see if there's something to upgrade there and share with Kelly to see if we can get industry to participate with the community and get that road fixed.
I'd hope that we would, for the citizens of Othello, that we would take care of some of the streets that we've got now. We can't even, you've pretty much got to put four-wheel drive versus going out there and taking care of Lee Road. But like you said, industries, if they were to chip in, blah, 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 and help out a little bit, kind of went on.
Yeah. Let's let the committee take a look at that, and then we'll come up with some conclusions.
I got a little bit longer winded than I should have, so.
Yeah, this is
more?
Kind of step one of prioritizing and
yep.
See where the best bang for the buck is.
Yep.
So the action before us is a proposed contract by Varela and Associates for $35,962. I'd entertain a motion to approve that contract.
Make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Kurt. Okay. Spencer?
Well, that was going to be my suggestion.
Use TIB funds.
Or
TBB. Transportation Benefit District. Okay. Very good.
I thought we were going to use that for fixing roads, actually.
That's what I thought. I thought we were going to just, you know.
100%.
100% on that. We talked it over and over.
If I may, yes. But what this study, and Kurt alluded to a little bit, would do would help us to come up with a real plan instead of throwing money here at this street, throwing money here at that street. We're going to, this summer, Terry and I thought about a plan to get a couple of our worst ones done to show that we are working on it while maybe the study is done. But the result of the study would allow us then to come up with a phased plan that said, okay, this year we're going to do this because of conditions and the fact that maybe we don't have to do the plumbing and the sewer and the water on this one, and maybe next year we can do this one because of, you see what I'm saying, based on this rating, would help inform us on making an overall plan to spend that TBD money and fix our streets.
Well, that's so, that $35,000.
So that the $35,000 is money to help us
the more
educated way of doing it. And then if the citizen said, well, why didn't you fix my street? You can say, well, we have a study done that said, well, this street over here was actually worse shape and was in more danger of failing worse than your street. Sorry, but the study we're doing or completed says we're going to get to your street in the year 2019 or whatever it might be. I'm just throwing out numbers and stuff. So that's why we could take this out of a TBD and it makes sense. But that's up to you guys.
This year in our TBD budget, $234,000 for projects. And so this would be part of that.
Well, maybe when the street committee meets, they can discuss how we want to pay for it too, because it is an unbudgeted item. Okay, so we'll move on to item 4.3, the T-33 airplane refurbishing contract. Wade has a update.
So you don't want to make a vote on that tonight? Already did.
Well, we approved the contract. We just are discussing how we're going to, which fund we're going to pay it out of.
Okay, so we didn't.
Motion.
Huh?
It's just direction for Spencer.
Okay, so. Well, we passed the contract, so there was that much.
Okay.
And then the second part.
We did vote on it, though. Okay.
We did vote on it.
No problem.
Okay, Mayor and Council, if you guys recall, a couple of weeks ago, we came up with a contract to refurbish the aircraft, a T-33, and make it look like an F-16. Not really. But if only. And so there were some questions, some really good questions, that I was directed to go back and ask the contractor. I did, and a very forthcoming, very quick response. And as you see up on the board, and hopefully you guys had a chance to read it, it was a question about the 20 hours. That didn't seem like a lot of time. Well, that was just for doing some of the body work, not the whole thing. As you can see from the email response, it's going to take them 3 to 4 weeks working, you know, 2 to 3 crew, 6 days a week, which makes more sense to me on getting that thing done. The other concern was about the cost and the escalation, and he said, as you can see there, they rarely had a time where they had to charge the customer money. That doesn't mean we're free and clear, but he said 15 years, he thinks there's a couple of times they had to do that. So, like I say, he was very quick to respond and very upfront. He said we'd be in conversation the whole time as they're doing it, and hopefully that answers all your questions. And once we get the contract done, he can start actually in June to get this thing going. So, any questions? Any other questions?
I don't have any, you guys. So we're looking for, a motion to approve this contract for 32-2.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Wade.
Now, the rotary is still picking up half of that.
Yeah. They'll pay the city.
They'll have to pay up to
$15,000.
Okay.
Over there.
Okay. Now we're going to move to item 4.4, Skyhawk Sports Camp. And Amy is going to tell us all about the Skyhawk Sports Camp.
So Skyhawk Sport Camp is something that we have had here in Othello before. Molly introduced this program a few years back. I came across Skyhawk Sports Camp when I was away at a conference a couple of weeks ago, and I've had several people in the community ask me my countless hours of hanging out at the baseball fields, so when baseball's over, what are you going to make for our kids next? I'm like, I was going to take a week off, but so it seemed like this was a perfect opportunity to bring programs, especially athletic programs, back into the community with very little, if any, real work to city staff and no cost to the city. So I know I was thinking, I don't think any of mine are asking for money, so I'm happy that I'm here tonight with all of that. So the way the Skyhawks works is they bring in trained professionals called coaches to the city of Othello based off of the registration numbers. They have a coach to student ratio, and then they also have assistants that come in. The people that they bring in to coach the kids on this sport that they're coming in for have been background checked through the the State Patrol and the Department of Licensing, just like we do for our own city staff that works with kids, and they're trained in the sport or the program that they bring into the community. All of the registrations go through Skyhawks' website or through a paper form for Skyhawks, and they handle all of the money. We have 5 camps scheduled with them, and at the end of the summer, when all 5 camps are done, they'll send us a check for 10% commission on all the registration fees. I, of course, asked the question, it sounds too good to be true, so what's the catch? And I really couldn't find a catch. I guess if a catch is low attendance, they probably won't be eager to come back next year. But they do an exceptional amount of work. I actually just received in the mail today 3,000 copies of this dual language schedule of events and where to register information sheet. It's in full color. It has a city seal on it, so it says City of Othello Parks and Recreation Sports Program. The sports camps that we have signed up to offer are 2 mini hawk camps. They're for ages 4 to 7. It's a week-long camp, and they are going to do soccer, baseball, and basketball. It costs $99 for the week, and your kids are there for 3 hours, and each day they do a different sport. They're going to use Lions Park facilities. Depending on the sport, they might move onto the basketball courts for the little guys. They're just going to be in the grass. They might use some of the asphalt and things like that, but they're not going to shoot hoops on the big basketball hoops. So they'll use the grass area for those. Then the other three camps that we have offered are all-day sport camps, and one is basketball, one is soccer, and one is flag football. I chose those three. There are just a ton of different options. I chose those three because I don't know if you guys drive past the basketball courts ever. There are always people playing basketball. Mm-hmm. Any time of the day, it's a thing. And I thought maybe that would be a good thing to get our younger kids involved in, so that as they're growing older, they use our facilities just like the older kids do. It's a full day camp. So the way the full day camp works is from 9 to 12 o'clock, they do the sport with the coach. Then they have a lunch. For the first two camps that we have scheduled, the free lunch in the park with the Othello School District will still be going on. And that program is set up for any kid that can eat food. So, you know, 1 or 2 years old to 18 years old, and they can eat lunch for free in the park. So the kids will be able to do the sport for 3 hours, eat lunch with the school district, and then the coach will take them to the swimming pool for 3 more hours and stay on site and sort of be the supervision, if you will, for those kids for the second half of the day. The full cost for a full day is $119 for the week, which is an exceptionally good deal if you think about how much child care costs for a day. I can tell you how much child care costs for a day, especially in the summertime. And it creates a program for them to be able to get outside and do something active. It also promotes our swimming pool, because their parents are going to have to come pick them up from the pool. They're going to have little sisters or brothers that want to come to the pool. And it gets more people in our swimming pool, which I think is important. We want people in the pool. When you drive by and you see a big group of kids having a good time, it makes you want to stop and do the same thing. So the cost of all that is included in the $119 for the 5 days. I chose soccer because we live in Othello. That just seems like a no-brainer. And then I chose flag football for the last one because in the fall, we are planning to have a flag football league for 5 to 8 year old kids to sort of complement the grid kids program that currently goes on with tackle football, as a non-contact sport to try to teach them some of the skills. And it's a program that nobody else is doing right now, which is exciting for me to not cannibalize somebody else's efforts, but to create something that we don't currently have. And I feel like the flag football camp will be a great introduction to the sport and a good way to advertise the fall league that's coming up. So this is just informational for you guys. Like I said, I don't anticipate there being any cost to the city. They bring everything with them. They have their own insurance certificate. I already have a copy of that. The city's listed as additional insured. It really does seem too good to be true, but I've talked to other cities that have currently used the program, and they're very happy. They also have a sports tots category that's for ages 1 to 5 years old, which is a toddler sports program. And there's a local representative in Moses Lake who owns that franchise, and she came down twice last year and ran that program at Lions Park. So I'm looking forward to trying to get her in a couple times as well. Any questions? Or?
When does that start, Amy?
The first camp is June 19th, and the last camp is going to be August 18th. So I have the older kid, the full-day camp scheduled once a month, and then I have two of the mini-hawk camps.
Good job.
And it can grow into an insanely large program if the community really takes off. I mean, they come in and do day camps where they do, like, you know, macaroni necklaces and the whole nine yards. It can be as big or as small as we want it to be, but I thought this would give us a good taste of what they have to offer and see if it works.
Amy, how are we going to get this out as far as advertising, letting the parents know and...
So the 3,000 copies that I have of this, they provided. I told them how many schools we had. I told them how many packets I needed for each school. So I have sitting on my desk ready to deliver tomorrow morning to every elementary school a packet of 30 of these dual language approved by the school district with the school district's disclaimer on the bottom. Matt Stevens has already signed off on it. So I'll drop them off at the school, and every kid that's in elementary school or middle school will take one home. So you cross your fingers and hope that at least one out of the four kids gets one to the mom and dad. And then we can put it on the website, and we can put it on Facebook to start marketing it through social media and electronic media as well.
Okay. Good. Kelly?
Yes.
Are you familiar with this arrangement?
Well, I'm familiar with the Skyhawks organization. One thing I'm
Whereas it, whether they asked us to sign, if there's any signed agreement between the city and Skyhawk?
No, the only thing that I signed was an intent to participate, and I, and it said that I intend on having these programs in Othello.
Okay.
And I signed that to get the flyers. But it says specifically in there that I'm in no obligation. He said if I hate the first one and I never want him to come back, that's all I have to say.
And so, and we can talk afterward, but one thing I want to know is just to make sure that we have a, something in place to protect the, I mean, I know that there's insurance in place in terms of if there's an injury and that that's covered and that's good, but we want to make sure there's a, there's some type of indemnification agreement.
Okay.
We might want, so maybe you and I should talk after this.
Sure.
See if we can do that.
Sure.
Okay, council, you all right?
Good, yeah.
Good, thank you, Amy. So we'll move to item 4.5, exciting news.
Seahawks, that is exciting news. Mm-hmm. So the Seahawks want to come to Othello. I can't see why they wouldn't want the Seahawks to come to Othello. They have asked the city if they can stop in Othello on their way back from Tri-Cities to Seattle. What they're asking in return is hospitality. They would like a park or a large area that has a flagpole and maybe a stage if they can be picky, which I think we can arrange all of that. They're going to come. What I did attach here is just the basic run of the show, which this was provided by them. I've spoken to their representative this morning and asked if I had any questions. I couldn't think of any questions that I had based off of all of the information we had. They'll take care of contacting all the little newspapers to get all of the information that way out. And we have the ability to market it however we want with Facebook. It's Father's Day weekend. So I think the timing is really good. I'd like to get a jump on advertising sooner rather than later because I think it might just keep some people in Othello or change their plans to spending Father's Day in Othello as opposed to heading out of town. So it really is as simple as we provide them an opportunity, a venue to come into town. They'll bring Seahawks players, nondescript. I don't know who's coming, how many are coming. The Seagulls will be here. Blue Thunder will be here. And
Blue Thunder?
I don't know.
It's a drum line.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. From what it sounds like, it's like a band, but is this a drum line? Yeah, perfect. I got banned out of it, so that sounds not too far off. And then Blitz, the Seahawk mascot, will be here. And Seagulls will perform. The players will stick around after the little shindig and take pictures and sign autographs. They'll raise a 12 flag in the park. So what I'm asking for you today is to waive all of the paperwork and all of the cost and all of the pieces that go along with the normal park event, special use events of the park, to create a much easier opportunity for them to come. I fear that if we made it too complicated, they probably would just drive straight to Seattle. And I don't know if we would like to miss the opportunity for them to come and spend Father's Day for 1 hour in Othello and create an opportunity for people who live here to get an up-close and personal opportunity to hang out with the Seahawks.
Don't have to ask me twice. I'm for it. Council, are you?
I'm for it.
Okay, need a motion to waive the requirements.
I'll make the motion. Say.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Seahawks, here they come. Let them know.
Woohoo. Okay. Okay, next is Columbia Basin Health Association. All right, so CBHA would like to have their health fair at Lions Park again. Their map is identical to the map they used last year. It'll be the same scenario, same situation. They bring the Evergreen Implement stage down, and this year La Campesina will be broadcasting live from the stage. The only electrical needs that they need outside of the shelter that they have specifically requested is the 220 outlet that's further down to plug in all of their stage equipment. We had that set up for them last year. They have local booths set up. Nobody sells anything. There's no vending in the park. It's, if anything is there to take away, it's for free. Places like Othello Community Hospital, WIC, the Housing Authority, Adams County Health Department, the library, Hey Kids, there's a lot of really great organizations in town that do fantastic things for the health in our community, and CBHA is the one that spearheads the event every year. I have their insurance certificate, I have the facilities agreement resolution and agenda memo prepared for you here tonight. It'll be a $200 facilities fee for the size of crowd that they normally bring in. I don't know, they're planning on under 500. Last year, they got close to 500. They had a really good year last year. So I talked to Cindy and said this year, maybe keep an eye on it and see if we feel like we crossed that threshold. They require very little extras from the city, a few extra garbage cans. And they've done it for so long that you barely know they're there. They come in the morning, they set up, they're there for 4 hours, they go home. It's a pretty great deal, and I think it's really important to the community. So what I'm looking for tonight is an approval for the resolution to allow them to use the city facility.
Council? Need a motion?
I'll make that motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy. Let's move to the Chamber of Commerce now.
Okay, so the Chamber of Commerce, 4th of July?
Yes.
Sweet. 4th of July for the Chamber of Commerce. Again, this is the same as usual. They will be using the traditional setup of the park. They've only deviated from the setup 1 year. They had a rogue manager on duty. And they'll be using the vendor court as usual and setting the vendors up in a circular pattern around the perimeter of the southern end of the park. The stage will be placed at the south end of the park. We will have the soccer tournament in the park again. That was an excellent addition. Previously, Kevin McDonald has hosted a soccer tournament at Hiawatha. And last year, they decided to move him into the park. And it was very nice to have all of the excited noise in the park. You know, lots of cheering and clapping, and it was a very positive environment. We had the Police Explorers last year. It was a very integral and useful part of the event that we've never had prior to that. They were there in a buddy system, just walking around in their uniforms, and just having their presence there, I think, was very good for the overall feel of safety and control of the event. They also implemented a command central booth where there was first aid, CPR trained people. There were electricity for uncharged wheelchairs. Some of the anomalies that have popped up here and there throughout the years, we were able to sort of consolidate all those concerns into one particular location and identified that location. We have vendors from all over the Columbia Basin that come in and bring their food and whatever other little trinkets and things they sell. And then we also have several community partners that we work with, church organizations, the local karate school. There's a desire for a local boxing club to come in and show off some of their skills. So it seems to be growing every year. The interest continues to grow. And I think, again, this is something that the community looks forward to. City has already agreed to buy the fireworks, so now we just need the event to go with it.
Okay, Council. Entertain a motion to approve the Chamber of Commerce 4th of July event application.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to item 4.8, facility use agreement with the Chamber of Commerce for Farmers Market.
And last but not least, the Farmers Market and Business Expo will be requesting to use the Pioneer Park facility in its entirety every Saturday beginning July 8th running through October 31st. The end date is a non-negotiable for the Chamber as long as they agree to accept the WIC Farmers Market checks. They have to be open as long as the checks are usable. So although I would say attendance is dwindling towards the end of October and the weather is not fair, they stick it out every year and hold up their end of the bargain and create an opportunity for people in the community who want to buy fresh local produce to buy it all the way through the fall when there's just about nothing left besides squash. It is organized and ran very well. There's a great system in place for vendors to pay, for vendors to be responsible for what they set up. There's no issues with vendors not complying with city expectations as far as driving large stakes into the ground or leaving a lot of litter or garbage laying around. Everybody cleans up after themselves and is a really good steward of the facility while they're there using it. This is definitely a local event. Local vendors, local artisans, local people go to sell the things that they can't sell from their homes or don't have an opportunity to sell on Facebook because of some other health department compliance issues. But the farmers market is exempt from a lot of expectation for homegrown produce, and it creates an opportunity for local people that is very important to both the buyer and the seller. The Business Expo portion of things is something that the Chamber implemented last year and needs to remain segregated from the farmers market in order, again, to preserve the WIC status of the farmers market. But the Chamber recognized that they weren't serving all of their clients the way that they should by not offering something besides just local artisans and produce growers. So they added the Business Expo portion of the weekly event to the adjacent portion of the park, and they let any business vendor, whether it's a home business or an actual storefront, come in and either advertise and or sell their products in the park. I applaud the Chamber for sticking with the idea. It wasn't strongly attended last year by businesses, but the few businesses that did attend it were exceptionally grateful for the opportunity to give them whatever it is that they got out of it, whether it was a feeling of support or some sort of influx in business because they were reaching another market of people. And I believe that the first year of anything is a very rough go of it. And the second year people go, well, how do I do that? And then all of a sudden the program grows. So I applaud the efforts. It's one more thing to manage. It's one more thing to juggle. And I think it's important for the local businesses to have a place to come and meet the customer rather than make the customer come and find them.
Yep. Thank you, Amy. I'd entertain a motion to approve. You have a question?
Actually, by the way, that's going to be pretty close to conflict with the plane restoration. How much space are they going to have?
It's a good question. When does it start again?
July 8th.
July 8th through October 31st or October 28th.
There may be a conflict the first weekend or so. If they start mid-June, like we're talking about doing. So, it'll be close. We'll watch that.
See. But generally, they're not quite that far down anyway, that first couple of weekends.
Well, the businesses last year were right there at the plant.
Okay.
We'll set the restricted business the first couple of weeks. I'll talk to Bianca, the chamber manager, about that. The deconviction there. Good point.
Any other comments? Okay, I entertain the motion to approve this facility use agreement with the Chamber.
Make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy. And Debbie, we're going to move to your ordinance 4.9 on the agenda to create OMC 2.41 titled Recognition for Prominent Civic Leaders.
This is a new ordinance that we don't have in the books right now. It creates authorization for the city to pay the expenses to purchase flowers, cards, or certificates for past and current mayors, past and current council members, and prominent civic leaders. We received an opinion from MRSC that if the council agreed to want to set some kind of a policy, it would be best for the council to either adopt a policy by a resolution or an ordinance. We drafted an ordinance for your review. It has been reviewed by the city attorney. It's very much like our recognition of employees. There is a maximum value for each recognition of $100, which is the same for our employee recognitions. However, you know, a cost of a card is approximately $5 to $10. Certificates we can make in-house, they could cost me $10. The flowers could cost up to $100. We recently had a purchase card for the Shannon McKay's family, a sympathy card, and this would help cover those costs instead of employees paying for those costs. Very simple ordinance. I do suggest an annual budget of $300. I'm not sure that we would need that much. You know, it could be a lot less. What I'm asking is for council's consideration to adopt this ordinance as it's presented tonight.
Any questions, council?
I'd make that motion.
Would you? Thank you. We have a second?
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Let's go to item 5, unfinished business. Council, do you have any unfinished business you want to bring up? Item 6 is new business. Is there any new business you guys want to bring up? Okay. I have some items here, I just want, they're just announcements. The Lions Club Annual Auction is dinner auction with Italian dinner, will be held June 13th at 6 p.m. at the Senior Center. It's a lot of fun. Wine is poured, I believe, and
cost is
$20. You can buy tickets from Wade.
Or Columbia Bank.
Or at Columbia Bank. Then the annual AWC conference is June 20th through 23rd. If you are interested in attending that, please let Wade and Jennifer know. We've already passed several deadlines, and now it's going to cost more money to go than the normal fee, so we need to know this week, if possible. And then the last announcement I have is Othello City Clerk Debbie Kudernaz's retirement open house will be from 1 to 3 p.m. here at City Hall on Friday, June 23rd. So it'd be nice if you can arrange it to be a well-wisher for Debbie. She will be finishing out her career at the City of Othello after over 30 years service that last week of July, so, or June, excuse me. So then, moved to item 7, council will also receive the following 7.1 department head reports and 7.2 planning commission minutes. And having no further business, I will adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:14 p.m.